Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I think that was that good enough? I mean, we're in Easter 4 now. We got to really keep the energy going. So, alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
We can't forget. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known. From you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, whose Son Jesus is the good shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with a request. Please come without delay. So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is my shepherd. A reading from the Revelation to John. I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike him or any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to the springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
Now, when John saw that vision, there was a multitude too great to count, and they were all dressed in white and in the heavens. And he asked, "Who are these?" And John said, "Only you know. I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen." Revelation. My mom says revelations. Like the S on the end. And I never know if I should correct her or not. She should probably be correcting me on the book of Revelation. So she says revelations. And I say revelation. And none of us like this book because we're Episcopalians and it's uncomfortable, right? How many of you have read the book? Nobody in here has opened the book to Revelations. Some of you have been like sitting down and somebody's read to you the book of Revelation. And you thought, ooh, that's weird, right? That typically how we think about it. That's weird. That's the standard Episcopal response. I want to tell you that's okay, but I want to change your mind on Revelation. I was in Panera Bread this week. I do Panera Bread. There I was sitting in the Panera Bread. I was waiting on a friend of mine to show up. And when you become a priest, don't wear your collar in public. People just approach you with all kinds of stuff. It's actually a pretty good thing. So this guy walks up to me and he sits down across the table from me and he's got this piece of paper and he shoves it out there and he goes, "Which one of these is right?" Never met this guy before in my life. This happened to me this week. And so I'm like squinting, you know, trying to see what he's showing me there. And he's got like all the different interpretations about how the world is going to end according to the book of Revelation. And I was glad I could just say, "I'm an Episcopalian. I don't believe any of those things." I said, "Though my mother, you can sit down with her. She will tell you which one of these will work." There's those who believe in the premillennial dispensationalism and the postmillennial dispensationalism. Oh, man, it's enough to make you dizzy, right? And so there are people out there who will say, the book of Revelation is about everything that's going to happen at the end of time. And then there are people who say, no. Revelation is about the stuff that has already happened in the world. And what I'm here, Robert Hartman's here, preaching to you, want to say is, yes to all of that, because that's what that guy answered. He goes, "Are you one of those people who believes that the book of Revelations talks about what's going to happen at the end of the time?" Which I could tell by his inflection that that was the correct answer. "Are you one of those people who believes that Revelation is about things that already have happened?" To which I answered, "Yes. Yes to all of it. Yes." Because here in the Easter season, what we believe is that we are a people who proclaim resurrection, that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that we, alongside Jesus, from each of our little deaths that we die, and our disappointments and failure, losses, and brokenheartedness, and mess-ups, and things that go our way, on the other side of that is a little resurrection, all right? And that's what we proclaim in the Easter season. And so what does the book of Revelation have to do with that? Why would we put this esoteric, strange, weirdo book in the middle of Easter, the celebration season? That is the question that is before us right now. So this part that, Sally, did you read Revelation? Was that Sally? Sally read for us Revelation. That was in chapter, okay, here's the part of the sermon where you're going to have to stick with me a little bit. I know that sometimes you kind of don't pay attention, and I'm fine with that, but it's going to get like convoluted here. So you got to stick with me for a minute, okay? So Sally was reading from chapter 7. We're right here in chapter 7. In chapter 7, we get this multitude of folks, too many to count. Remember, every tribe and nation and people and language, right? And they're there in heaven, and they're dressed in white, and they've come through, Sally read, the great ordeal. Is that right? So that's the how us liberals translate it. In the evangelical world, it gets translated tribulation. Right, so you've heard that buzzword before, right? The tribulation. They've come through the tribulation, right? And there they are in front of the throne of Jesus with God. And John's there. And the angel asks John, who are these folks? And John's like, only you know, only you know. And the angel says, these are the ones who were washed in the blood of the Lamb, which seems weird to us. These are the folks who have come through the blood of the Lamb. So then we got to ask, who is the blood of the Lamb, right? And so then we got to back up all the way. Oh gosh, don't die. Chapter 5. All right. Here we are in chapter 5. In chapter 5, John has walked into the throne room. John's been called up into heaven, right? And so I got to put you in the first century perspective. So here's how they thought about things. There was the earth. The earth was flat. There were mountains. The mountains held up the heavens. There were layers of heaven. And up in the heavens were the heavenly folks, the heavenly people, the angels and God and all those folks are up there in heaven. And if you want to go meet God, you got to be like Moses. You got to go up the mountain, right? That's kind of how you do it, up towards heaven. And here in the 21st century, we can just go with that, right? We can just be like, cool. We can just handle that. We can just go along with that, right? So John gets taken up into heaven. This is typical of apocalyptic language. John gets taken up into heaven, and there he is in this throne room. If we were writing this book today, we would probably say, instead of a throne room, it'd probably be like the Oval Office, right? The seat of power, right? And there, instead of the President of the United States, is something so bright, so very bright, that John can't see it. He's trying to describe it. He can't see what's on the throne. And think about this. This is before electric lights. And so he describes it in like precious metals or precious stones, things that reflect so brightly back on you that you can't quite see it. And in front of the throne is a sea of glass, right? And it's just perfectly crystal. It's perfectly still, the sea of glass is. And in the ancient world, they believed that the sea is where all the evil lived. It was very tumultuous and chaotic. And for in heaven, though, the sea is perfectly still. It's been conquered, right? And around the throne are the 12 elders. Those are the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. You're like, oh gosh, we are getting in the weeds now. All right, so you got the 12 tribes of Israel. And then around those folks are the 24 kings, right? Those are like all, that's like the United Nations. It's like the United Nations and the Senate and the Congress all around Jesus there. That's kind of the idea that's going on here. And I think there's a hymn about this. I can't remember which one. All you music people have to tell me. But they're all casting their crowns to the throne. What is that hymn? I don't know. Well, we'll find it. What is it? Oh, yeah. No, the hymns. So they're casting their crowns onto the throne. So they're surrendering their power to God. And this is what Revelation is all about. It's about the reversal of power. And this really cool thing happens in chapter 5. You got to hear me out on this. God at the throne has a scroll. The scroll has 7 seals. A seal is like melted wax that doesn't let you open the scroll. You have to break the seals to open the scroll. There's 7 of them on the scroll there, right? And an angel asks John, who's worthy to break those seals? And John says, I don't know. And he looks around and nobody. There's nobody there. Nobody in heaven. Nobody who's come up into heaven, nobody is already in heaven, nobody on the earth below, nobody can open the seals. And John is weeping, literally weeping, that nobody can open the scroll. And God says, there is one worthy. It's the Lion. And he points to his right hand, which we all know is where Jesus sits, right? He points to his right hand. But here's the cool thing. Are you with me? Here's the cool thing that happens. And if you're not paying attention, you miss it. So when John looks over to where God is pointing, to his right hand, instead of a lion there, there's a slain lamb. This is a story about the reversal of power, the turning upside down. And as those scrolls, as those seals are open, and this is where it gets weird, all this weird evil stuff starts happening to earth, right? And this is where we get really uncomfortable, because it seems like really violent language, and it is violent language, right? But if you pay close attention throughout chapter 6, as these seals are being opened one by one, the evil that gets visited on the earth is the evil that we visit upon ourselves. The first seal is civil war and violence. You don't need to look farther than Colorado this week to see that seal broken open, right? The second seal is famine and hunger. And just in case you miss it, the rider who comes from that seal, the horseman, he has scales in his hands to remind us that hunger comes from injustice, right? So these are the evils that we bestow upon us, upon ourselves. And the beauty in this story is that here in chapter 7, all the seals get open, all but one of them. And then Sally read for us chapter 6, all the seals get open. Chapter 7, Sally read for us. And then in chapter 8, that last seal gets open. And God's promise comes upon the earth, right? And in chapter 6, the multitude from every language and people and nation are invited into heaven. And their robes are pure white because they've been washed with the same blood that Jesus is washed with. This is all esoteric language. What John means to say is that these are the folks who self-sacrificed in a great acts of love, like Jesus self-sacrificed in great acts of love. And I believe it. I believe it. That when we exercise great acts of self-sacrificial love, that we win the cosmic battle against evil. I believe it. And here's why. So I was thinking about, okay, power. How does this get turned upside down? Who in the 21st century can we think about who does self-denial acts of great love? Who is that? Who is that in the 21st century? I thought about myself, and then I thought, I've got butt warmers in my Subaru. I am not that guy. It's not me. Not this guy. Right. Okay. But then I thought about this young woman who was born in Albania, lived her first part of her life in great privilege, made her way to Calcutta, where she taught in a school, and noticed the people in Calcutta who were hungry and desperate and poor, poorer than maybe what we can think of here in the United States, and decided to give her life over to those folks and changed her name to Teresa, right? Teresa of Calcutta, our Mother Teresa, as we know her, right? Oh, man. And there's many stories about Teresa, but here's my favorite. So Teresa, in 1985, had opened something, 150-200 orphanages and charities to help folks in the most desperate situations all over the world. And she met up to partner with this man named Bob McCauley, who was a guy here from North Dakota who started a ministry called AmeriCares, which is all about feeding folks throughout the world, right? And they were partnering up on some stuff. And they got on a flight together from the United States to Mexico City, right? And they're so, imagine this, you're on a plane, 200 other people flying over the American continent with Mother Teresa. All right, so here we are. And, you know, this is 1985. I would imagine they would have referred to her as the stewardess, but us most enlightened folks would say the flight attendant comes, right, and carrying those lunches and goes to give a lunch to Teresa. And Teresa says, how much does that lunch cost? And I'm going to take it in 2019 for you. So she said something like $7, which in 1985 was like 35 cents or something like that. Yeah. So that was a little exaggeration. So she says it's like $7. And Teresa says, well, if I let you keep the lunch, will you give me the $7 for the pool? So the attendant says, I don't know, goes and talks to the pilot. The pilot gets on the little pilot phone, calls down, and the headquarters says, yeah, we can do that. So they give Teresa $7, right? And then Bob's like, well, I can't eat this lunch. So he says, okay, can I get mine? And then it spreads throughout the whole plane. And before you know it, Teresa's walking off that plane with like $700-$800, right, for the poor. That was how power gets turned upside down. You see that? See how that works? That act of self-surrender that Teresa did translated into something fantastic. The book of Revelation is full of this weird, difficult, awful language, but I think you should read it. My favorite part of the book of Revelation is chapter 12, which happens to be like the pinnacle, the apex of the entire book. And let me sort of run you through this. Again, you got to stick with me a little bit. So in chapter 12, we got John up there in the heavens. He's a seer. He's seeing everything that's going on. And typically in this kind of apocalyptic language, what happens is the person who is the prophet, the seer, in this case John, is able to see what's going on in the earthly realm being determined by what's going on in the heavenly realm. Are you with me? So what happens, so we see all this horrible stuff going on earth. We're thinking, God certainly couldn't let this happen. And the prophet sees it from heaven's point of view, and whatever happens in heaven affects and changes what's going on earth. Are you with me? Okay, we're all together at this point. Revelation flips it on its head. So in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, there's a great dragon, right? Big red dragon, that is Satan. And there's the Madonna and the child there, and she's getting ready to give birth to the Christ child, right? And the dragon waits to devour the child, but just at the last moment, the child is rescued into heaven, right? So by Jesus' great act of self-sacrificial love on the cross, he is taken into heaven, right? And it is that moment that Michael defeats the dragon and it's cast out. That's the moment. So to say that Jesus' life of self-sacrifice and love and service and denial is the death blow on earth to the evil in heaven. And let me just tell you right now, so it's flipping this whole gender on its head. Let me tell you right now, I believe this. I believe it. I believe that when we do these things, right, when we give ourselves over for each other, right, that we are drawing a death blow to a more cosmic evil. I believe it. I believe it. And here's why I believe it. So Teresa gets off that plane. She's with Bob. They're walking through the concourse there. And Teresa looks over at Bob and says, "What do you think they're going to do with all those meals?" Bob says, I don't know. She goes, "I think you should go get them." So Bob goes back and asks, "What are you going to do with the meals?" And they said, "We're going to throw them away." Well, Teresa wants to know if we can take them. And they're like, okay. So Bob runs back over to Teresa and says, I got the meals. And Teresa says, "All right, now I need you to get a truck." So Bob's like, "Okay." And he goes and gets a truck. And Bob says the next thing he knows, he's riding through the streets of Mexico City, steering the Teresa there. All she's driving, all she can see is in between the steering wheel and the dash there, like weaving in and out of Mexico City traffic. They make their way to a little shanty town where they hand out all those food, all those lunches to folks. This is how power works in the book of Revelation. And ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to be followers of the person Jesus, this is how power has to work in our own lives, in our individual lives, in our corporate life, in our church life. This is how it has to work. Revelation says plainly that power is not about dominance or violence or control. It's about surrender and love and self-sacrifice. It turns everything upside down. It is the perfect book for the season of Easter. And I believe it. I believe it. That if we move into these acts of great self-sacrifice and love, that they will be full of power. Amen.
Please stand. Let us profess our faith by saying the Nicene Creed found on page 6. We believe in one God,
Father the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten in the eye of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was suffered by the cross.
about.
He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sin. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people. In the glory of the Paschal light, we pray to God. God, awake those who sleep. Rise us from dead. Bring newness and change to your church, O God, that we might serve you with courage and grace. Bring new hope to your world, O God, that all might know the goodness of your love. Lead us from this empty tomb to proclaim your grace in this nation and inspire our leaders toward peace and cooperation. The resurrected Christ is a mission of hope to those who suffer. We especially pray for those on our prayer list. Margaret, Steve, Nicole, J.R., John, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Brian, Jane, Faye, and all those you now name.
We pray for those in Colorado, for the healing of the
We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays, especially Patty Harmon and Dot Whalen. God, resurrect us. After you were raised, you ate and drank with the disciples. Bring us and all who have died peace and assurance of that resurrection. In the Easter light, change our hearts that we might grow larger in faith and hope.
Christ has burst forth from the tomb, making all things new. Grant that we may now live by faith and with joy behold the coming of your resurrection work in the world around us. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
So I want to start by saying Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers, to also acknowledge that this day can be a difficult day for some folks. So we say on Mother's Day, blessings to everyone, blessings to folks who for today is a joyous day, and blessing for those folks who for today might not be a joyous day. There's a lot going on, more than maybe I can say, but we'll give it a small try here. This coming Wednesday is, I think, the fourth installment in our Resurrection Wednesdays series. We're going to do it at Hillcrest Elementary School, which is right down the road here. So you can meet us, here are your options. You can meet us at 6 o'clock and help me set up pizza for 150 kids. I like that option. Or you can come at 6:30 and just hang out with folks. We're going to bring pizza. The youth and children's ministers from St. Albans are going to lead children in games in their cafeteria. This will give us the chance to meet parents and have conversations. It's an extremely important time. I invite you to come and join us. We're developing this relationship with Hillcrest School. I think a lot of St. Albans people are coming. So please do make this part of your Wednesday evening this coming Wednesday. On Saturdays here at St. Thaddeus, we have a food pantry from 2 to 4. That is for folks who, Christian, help me with this language, who meet the financial requirements for the food pantry, but we serve some 400 meals a week or so. Yeah.
1350 last month.
Yeah.
And we're ready to divide. Talk to them about that sales.
Yeah, so the ministry is expanding, and we invite you to think about and be on the lookout. There's plenty of opportunities. So the food pantry itself, as people come to our doors, what we want is to have just a couple people there to greet them. We don't want a whole host of folks out there. But in terms of our church, we will want folks here to greet them. Who are you pointing at?
Out front.
Yeah, out front here. So there's going to be some opportunities for meals to provide dinner and be with people. There's been requests for prayer and for tutoring. And so we're going to move into this very slowly, but I invite you to think about sort of where your heart lands. If it's in a place where you would like to be a part of being out front with the food pantry, then you need to talk to Chris, Christian, or with George. And they'll help you sort of slowly move into that. But be on the lookout. There's other opportunities with the food pantry. Next Sunday, the 19th, at 2 o'clock at St. Albans, we're launching a ministry together for parents of adopted children. And we're going to have an ice cream social and an informational gathering. And kids are invited. We'll have games and that sort of thing. But if you just want to hear about that ministry, come join us 2 o'clock next Sunday, ice cream social, informational gathering. Courtney's been really involved with that. Vicky has been really involved with that. And we got some folks at St. Albans who are really involved too. So that's 2 o'clock next Sunday at St. Albans Church. Are there any other announcements? You have it. Great.
And Tuda, and anyone who would like to get with me and let me know what you might be able to help us provide, toppings for the ice cream. They're going, St. Albans is going to have the bowls and utensils, and St. Thaddeus is going to be responsible for the ice cream and anything and everything that might go on the ice cream. So I need help with that, and also anybody who would like to volunteer to be running over to St. Albans after our service on Sunday to help set up and get everything ready for the meeting at 2. Also, remind you that I'm going to have blood pressure checks in the Wellness Center, which now looks like a very pretty little chapel. So anybody who's interested in having their blood pressure checked, go ahead and come in after the service. Thank you.
Thank you, Courtney. Yes, Deb.
Flower field. We still have openings for flower field donations.
Okay.
As usual, the list is on the door to flower field, so please take advantage of that. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Dad. You have something else? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High. Be with you.
Lift
up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God. We praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time you made ready the creation. Your spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being. Sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. Yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again, you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day, we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. Praise to you, holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death and to reveal the riches of your grace. You looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the holy child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with sinners and outcasts, healed the sick and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself, yet we were heedless of that call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said,
"Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for remembrance of me."
Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer to you our gifts of bread and wine and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your spirit over the whole earth, and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with Alban and Teresa and Thaddeus and all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
"Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Come taste and see that God is good. Continuing in your bulletin, let us pray together. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual truth and the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world of peace. Grant us strength and courage
to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this Easter day and remain with you always.
Thank you.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.